Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Our next guest is on the line. She is Cynthia Stimple. She is a whistleblower. She blew the whistle on an irregular deal at SAA with 256 million rand. Not an easy thing to do. She's an author, a book that she's written called Hijackers on Board. And I'm going to talk to her in just a moment about the difficulties of being a whistleblower. And this in light of the fact that two whistleblowers have been killed in South Africa in the last month. So Cynthia Stimple, brave lady, thank you for being with me on Chai FM this morning. Cynthia, I think you're muted. It'll be great to have you. Okay, so let me go to the SMS line and Ian Smith in Israel. I asked him what kind of music you liked because he certainly didn't like our playlist this morning. He says music from the 70s and 80s. Looking at your name, Ian, you must be so tired of being mixed with the late Prime Minister of Rhodesia, no less. Just amazing that our parents didn't think before they gave us names. Mine, for example, Simon, what were they thinking? Did they know the angst that you go through your whole life with Simple Simon? Where's the Pieman? Where's Garfunkel? Well, you know my name is Simon. So it goes on and on and on. It's actually quite tiresome. Carol Z said, I thought people who lived in perfect Cape Town did not need to go on holiday. Touche, Carol. Beautiful comment. Love that. Yeah, the truth is that those of us who did live in Cape Town always used to go on holiday. We'd pretty much be motivated by warm water because as great as it is, yenne toch the water is cold. Put your foot in Clifton and your toes fall off. And, you know, they say that the water on the Musenberg side is better. That's what they say, but they fib because it's not quite as warm as all that. You've got to go up towards the KZN side. So I guess that's what Cape Townians do. They flee the wind and they flee the cold water. But can you imagine if the water was warm, what the effect on Cape Town would be? That is just frightening. Carol says to me, Simon, I paid 59 Rand at Woolies for 500 grams of lean mince 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, it is 94 Rand. I'll come back to that. That is insanity. We know the meat prices have gone up, but not to that extent. I believe Cynthia is back with me. Cynthia, good morning. Thanks for being with me on Chai FM. I think perhaps there's a...
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with me. You're a brave, brave, brave woman. I spoke about you a little while ago, but what you did to qualify you to talk on this particular issue and the book that you wrote called Hijackers on Board. And I want to know from you, can you share your reaction to the recent deaths of the two whistleblowers who were murdered just in the last month or two?
Yes, so we've had quite a few this year. It's been a year of many assassinations. In March was Pamela Mabini, and then after was Mpho Mafelo, and then was the Witness D, Marius van der Merwe, and just a few days ago, a day ago too, was the DJ Warris. So yes, I think for South Africa, we're in a state of where life has become meaningless, where people can just take out a life like they did with Babita Deokaran for a couple of thousand rand. It becomes worthless. And from a whistleblower perspective, one would think that our legislation should protect us as whistleblowers, or anyone who speaks the truth and stands up for truth are now being assassinated or eliminated, whichever way we can. So yes, so my reaction to that is that it's really sad indeed that we have our legislation not protecting us, one, but two, we also don't have our law enforcement to protect us. Like Mr. Marius van der Merwe, who was Witness D, should have had 24 hours protection around him, and he did not. So I think we have a serious case of negligence, probably, and where our law enforcement is not working, as we've seen in the Matlanga Commission, as well as the legislation that's not protecting whistleblowers.
Have we crossed the line? Have we become a mafia state? Is the corruption so endemic, so part of the system that it can't be fixed at this point?
Yes, that would be my personal opinion as well. If you read the book of that Jeff Wicks recently published in August called Shadow State, he actually outlines how the whole network and the mafia style cartels that work behind the scenes for the failure of our law enforcement and for corruption to continue unabated. Also, in Peter du Toit's book, you will see how he describes it. So, yes, we've seen various types of mafia. They call it the coal mafia, the water mafia, the energy mafia. So there's many out there, the construction mafia, who find ways of extracting funds, stealing funds through corrupted means, and therefore we're unable to get our state to work effectively for its citizens.
I'm just trying to get my head around the fact whether this is a lack of political will or a lack of an ability to enforce, given the circumstances you've just described.
Yeah. It would be both there, I think. One is the political will that right from the start, after the Zondo Commission was had given its final report and recommendations were made, we had our current sitting president, Cyril Ramaphosa, saying that he will fight corruption, that he will ensure that we can combat it, and that he formed the NACAC, which was the National Anti-Corruption Advisory Council, and that there were even recommendations from them and that there would be work on a consistent basis. But what we're seeing, that nothing has stopped the corruption. In fact, it feels like the corruption has exacerbated at all levels. We've seen it in the Zondo Commission, all at the state-owned entity level, in the top tier with board members, executives, etc. And it's moved down into the layer of municipalities and even
Yes.
lower, smaller organizations. So for me, it is really hard to understand that we still haven't been able to get a handle on it, to be able to combat it, to be able to find some ways of achieving some means of how do we fight corruption. What I do see, though, is that the civil society organizations like OUTA, who has been quite strong in voicing their concerns on a daily basis, but also actively putting legal minds behind it and investigators to start pursuing certain prosecutions for corruptees. So they've been doing a lot of work. There's the of civil society movements like the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, the ACM, the Active Citizens Movement, Corruption Watch. So many out there are working towards this. My personal sense is that we need to start all standing together to make it more effective. But yes, they have been making inroads, and that is very good. And certain legal organizations like Freedom Under Law or Helen Suzman have also done effective work. And I think our government here, yeah, is probably not collaborating enough, or of, in a state of freezings, when they say flight to freeze, and they're in the freeze mode where they're just
Interesting.
unable to build capacity to do
Interesting.
anything that can we can start seeing change in our country.
Cynthia, what message would you give to someone who is considering blowing the whistle? I mean, is it even safe, or are they out of their minds to even consider it?
I know, it this what's happened in our country obviously creates fear, and won't, and people will say, "I'll never blow the whistle, and therefore I will keep quiet and keep my head down." But as long as we do that, we are complicit in those crimes by keeping quiet, and we help the fact that we cannot able we're not unable to solve any of the corruption activities that's happening. So my personal message to them is: do speak the truth, do stand up, but do it with safety. Don't go in the public space just and speak out where your life could be at risk. Find ways where you can report your evidence or tell your story. For instance, News 24 has a line on their website where you can report and give evidence evidence anonymously. So does OUTA. So does many organizations that they can just look at and report there. So they give the evidence, they can still stay quiet, they can still keep their jobs, and they can still stay safe. Once they speak out, let's say at a having a discussion with friends and saying, guess what I did today? I went to OUTA and I laid this complaint there. Immediately, someone who overhears them can put their lives at risk. So therefore, they can report and leave this legacy to their own families and children that I did stand up and did my civic duty as a citizen of South Africa and that I spoke the truth. So they can do that safely, or even call me or call people like Wayne Duvenage or call the Whistleblower House or PLAF, those organizations or, you know, that can help. Or just Google, they'll find all these ones. They've Googled it, all the names, and then able to give that evidence. And we will make sure that their names do not come out into the media and to protect them. Thank you.
Cynthia Stimple, we're going to leave it there this morning. I just want to tell you, I think you're a remarkably brave woman and an inspiration to all of us. Thank you for what you've done and for what you continue to do.